congregation that come together all over the world, 1,500,000,000 Muslims, come together to make Salat, which is a prayer. On the behalf of New Africa, Etwet LLC, Miraj speaks. We felt we need to do this because in setting up the liner, in a snowstorm coming, people rushing home and getting off of work and trying to be safe. And we pray that everyone is safe. But the show must go on. And you heard thus far me coming back on Tuesday. You had Eliel Bey speaking on Wednesday. And you had Saladin Bilal. And I got some wonderful feedbacks about the show itself. And this is a trial run. We need about 30 days to really to get it together. We have some people in place that we will utilize. But more important, I introduced to you that we want to bring our females. We've been speaking to many of them. All of them have expertise and have the ability to articulate their lifestyle in society. And this is something you need to know. Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad, I'm a student of Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad, he indicated that our Muslim sisters in al-Islam need to come from behind the wall and be more visible to the public. So we can kill this myth that Muslim women is locked up behind the door. I don't know who told you that. But we take pride in our females. We have a great deal of respect for them. And we love to see them to exercise the knowledge that they have obtained in life itself, just being a mother. The one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created and utilized for all of us to come in this world. And therefore, I want to give them a platform. And that platform will take you pretty much around the world. Each one of them has expertise, the attributes that they should bring to fruition and manifest their attributes. And I think you will be in for a treat. Tonight we're going to do something a little different. As you know, I love to speak to you before I say Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Now, I say that silently. I don't have to prove anything to anyone. Allah knows my heart, and he knows what I'm going to say before I say it. And I'll always start off with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. But I'm going to take this opportunity to bring you a brother you listened to last night. I wish I could have got the other brother, then I wouldn't have to do any talking. This is what you have to do when you build it. Where I have to stand in, I'll come and stand in. You do know, for the last 2 and some odd years, I like to talk to you. I believe I have something to say. I believe I have something to offer. But my goal is to prove that we have a community. And when you have a community, you have collective minds coming together, beautiful hearts coming together, men and women, that we was created to be what? Together, as one. And we represent the Tashia of Imam Wallace Deen Muhammad, and that Tashia allows us to be able to give you everyday life, to give you the ability to want to stand up in your nature, your spirit, and your soul. And so, therefore, when I called on this brother, he said, we got to do what we got to do. See, that is a person that understands we got to do what we have to do. Now, I'm going to allow him to come on, even though this is not his show. His show is on Wednesday. But we are taught when we are given the call, we come running. We don't come walking. We come running. We take charge of that post, and we walk that post in a perfect manner, keeping always on alert. And we are not to quit our post until we are properly released. And the only time a believer that believes in Allah upon Allah quits his post is when he dies. No more to do here on earth. Not in this world that Satan created, but in the world that Allah created, don't ever die. You live on. So Imam, yes, he's an Imam. And we was taught, you don't have to call us Imam. But when we read the juice of the Quran, we now take on the position as an imam. So I'm going to introduce to you my brother, a man who's been with me for over 40 years and has proven the shadow of doubt that he's going to be front and center when it comes to doing anything right. His name is Eliel Eliyahu Bay, and I'm going to turn the mic over to him. And when he's finished, I begin. We got 2 hours. We have 2 hours to bring you Allah's word. And when we're speaking about God, there's no cut on it. All of us is consistent in what Allah will. Elijah, are you there?
Yes, I'm here, Brother Miraj. And again, thank you for allowing me to come on to your segment of this show. My topic for today is, why is El Islam our religion? Assalamu alaikum. This is peace be unto you. We always recall God's favor on us, and we begin with his name, saying, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. With God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer. So the topic for this presentation is, why is El Islam our religion? Firstly, we are going to look at the word religion and what is given in the meaning and what is implied for the name religion, as it is given in our holy book, the sacred book of all Muslims called Quran. So the word deen has direct meaning, and it means religion, or that you follow as religion, but it also has a reference to what is most important for us to know in order to have the right idea of religion. And this is this. It comes from a word from which we derive also the word death. So man in his religion is firstly in religion because he feels, or we feel, a debt on us for all of the things that we enjoy out of the universe, especially the earth. We feel a debt for the things that we enjoy and need out of the earth to support our life. So we wouldn't be able to have life if we was not for this world that was existing before we knew of any existence for ourselves. So we feel a debt. We are enjoying the dinner. Man feels the debt when man comes home from his labor, from his hard work, and he's enjoying a nice meal. Some men will feel in their hearts that I couldn't have this nice meal if creation didn't make it possible. If the earth didn't make it possible, if the sun was not helping me, if the moon wouldn't shine for me or wouldn't appear, I would be nothing. I wouldn't exist. So this thought comes to us mainly when we retire from our hard work and we are relaxing. Then we are enjoying a nice meal and we begin to feel that we should thank someone. And it's not without meaning that we say grace when we are enjoying a meal or at the table with our families and our friends. So we recognize that we couldn't have these things if these things hadn't been provided for us before our life begins, or our world planning for the world of man begins. So we remember God and we thank God. This is acknowledging a debt, and this is religion. So when we acknowledge a debt to God or to the existence superior to our and before our, that opened up our world to us and made possible our world, this is the beginning of real religion. So real religion is being grateful to God. Real religion is being appreciative for the many, many things that makes possible the development and progress that we make this planet for. So that real religion, so the first step in religion, or the first awareness of ourselves as a religious people or a religious community, should be gratitude to God, thankfulness. And we know one of the names given Satan, the enemy of all humanity or all people, is the ungrateful Satan. So the ungrateful is one of his strong names, that name because he's ungrateful. So why is Islam or El Islam our religion? And we say El Islam because that is how it is given in the Quranic Arabic text, the first expression in the Quranic language for man didn't say just Islam. It said El Islam, the surrender to God. Man surrendered to God for the sake of being acceptable in God's presence, respecting God, and for the sake of God, being in accord with God's plan and for the life of man or the life of people on this planet Earth. So this is El Islam that reconciles us, brings us to peaceful agreement with God that created us, gives us the life, and with his plan that the life on the planet Earth with other men or with other people. So why is El Islam our religion? Firstly, because we have a need for a religion. It is in our own makeup as a flesh and blood person, or a creation It's in our makeup to want to have religion for the sake of feeling that we are recognizing and being appreciative for the many benefits that we get from the world that existed before us, and a world that we did not create or make. It was here supporting all our needs that we would have as human beings on this planet Earth. So also, El-Islam is our religion because El-Islam appeals to our good senses and to our good sensitivities. El-Islam supports and recognizes the best that is in man. It recognizes him as a compassionate creature, even though he ignores this need in his life, in his soul, to give charity, to do kindness, to help combat the miseries that are in the life of society. Sometimes that does not register in his mind as it should, but it is there. We choose Islam because Islam gives us a picture of our life that pleases God. Islam gives us a picture of the humanity, a picture of the best human life. And he gives that to us and says he's pleased with that. El-Islam compliments man and compliments achievements for society under the leadership of man and under the leadership of men and women. So it compliments us, and it points out our excellence, or points us to see, man, this is your excellence. Your excellence is your heart that feels bad and hurt when you see hurt on others as well as on yourself and your family. But when you see hurt on others distant from you, strangers, your heart bears that hurt. That's an excellence in the creation of man. That's our excellence. So the heart is the most excellent member of the body of the human being. It is said Muhammad the prophet who received communications or revelations from God. It is said that God caused the revelation to come to his heart or descend upon his heart, not his brain, but upon his heart. So that tells us that we should have compassion. We should have love and sympathy for others and then ourselves, other than our immediate family. But that is also given to those most distant from us, the strangers, the nation across the water, living in a different part of the world. So the heart that registers kindness and registers a need to act and do something about removing the suffering from the people of the world, that heart is the most excellent part of the human being. Why is it more excellent than the brain? It is more excellent than the brain because sometimes the brain gives its attention to matters of intellect or matters that appeal to our intellect but may not be the concern that we should be giving attention to in society at that time. And the time it may need our heart. The society may be needing our heart more than anything else. And the heart is the first step. We must come to God with a pure heart, decent heart, with compassion for others. And the Quran shows us that. It tells us that, but it also tells us that in terms of productivity, God has not created anything more useful, more productive than the human brain. So for religion, the two have to work together. The two have to be partners in the development of the world. For the good future of the world, the brain and the heart has to be partners. The heart has to sense a need in society. The brain has to respond to that and come up with ideas, methods, strategies, etc., to deliver what the heart registers. As the brain respects what the heart registers, the brain, because of the heart, gets into the groove that God wants the brain in. And that groove is the groove of making society more decent, more productive, and more fulfilling for the life of people in society. Also, I would say, lastly, for this presentation, we choose Islam as a religion or for our religion because Islam appeals to our most productive element, our most productive features in our life, and that is human intelligence. El-Islam is a religion of faith and reason. It is given in the description of Abraham, the one that pointed us to the promised land, that is to the community life that God wants for us on this planet Earth. He is a man of unquestionable faith in God, but a man also respect for the human brain, the rational nature in man's mental nature. Too many leaders that went to bring people to faith addressed the spiritual and emotional side of man's life so heavily that it seems sometimes that the human intelligence and the rational side of man's life or soul is ignored. And I believe that many people, whether they be in the East, where Arabs or the African or European of the East, all people need to know their intelligence is respected and not excluded from an appeal to get them to become converts to a religion. So I am not saying that other religions don't have that appeal, but I think too many religious leaders play down the value of human intelligence and the ability to reason, think for ourselves. They play down that most important freedom that God has given us. And for that reason, we choose the religion other than Islam. They will choose those religions that appeal to the emotional side more than anything else. But we choose Al-Islam for the religious reason given here. And I thank you for giving me attention. And I am going to go now to another topic. Humanity is one. People are one family. So why is the Quran our book? The topic for this presentation is, why is the Quran our book? That is, why do Muslims say Quran is their book, and they choose to get all their guidance to support what they want to do with their life in the world from the Quran? So the Quran, the word itself means, or comes from a word meaning to read. So the Quran means the book that is to be read and recited. So we read it and we recite it in the presence of the congregation, or we recite it for the service that is given to the congregation or for the congregation. It means to read and to recite the book that is to be read and recited. So the first communications from God, Allah, to Muhammad, the last prophet, begin with the word read. The first communication said, read, Iqra, to Muhammad the prophet, peace be on him. And this first communication was completed with a total of 5 verses. And it addresses the intellect of and the hunger in the man's mind or in man's intellect as a thinker who wants to build his mind for the benefit of community life on this earth. So he's not selfish. He's not wanting to build his mind just to take care of his personal needs or family. Family needs. No, Muhammad the prophet left the society and he went up into the mountain that is now called the Mountain of Enlightenment or the Mountain of Delight. He went up there with a burden on the society, on his heart. And that is where, up in the mountain, away from the people, in a kind of solitude, he sought solitude, he prayed hard to get the response from the authorities that was over his life, his existence, and all matter, all existing things. And the response came. And when the response came, the response didn't say, Muhammad, this is Allah. The response said, read in the name of your developer and your cherisher. It translates Lord. But Lord for Muslims means developer and cherisher. He is the one responsible for us developing the earth as humans before we took up our cause and our need into our hands to work those things out ourselves. So he had already created us human, and he had already provided us with the things that we need to support our life. They were already provided for us in his creation. We call Mother Earth or the Earth. So we chose the Quran, or the Quran is our book because it recognizes our heart as a social bind that will bind us together as a social group. And the whole social group includes all the people on earth. Man is a social family. Man is mainly a spiritual and social family. All people in the human family are the human species or members of one another in a spiritual and social bonding that we rightfully can call the social family of mankind. So the spiritual and the social family of all people of all mankind. So the brain is much needed to do the work of developing the earth to support us, and now in further past, present, and future. And the Quran addresses that need so clearly. Not that other books don't address it. The Bible addresses it. In the Bible, this need is addressed, and it is addressed in a beautiful way. But the Quran struggles with our ignorance to convert us to seeing that man is to be respected as a human being with a brain, and the brain functions as an intelligent entity and is progressed by thinking and by listening to thoughts, reasoning with thoughts, thinking, reasoning, and projecting into futures. So this is the brain. If we don't have it, we couldn't have development out of the earth. So the heart appreciates what God has created as Mother Earth, or for our support to support our life. But the brain engages it. The brain engages it to see what further help it is in this creation for a better life or for the future we want. So the brain does that. The brain is the chief instrument for developing the world. And Islam recognizes that and puts more attention on man individually and collectively, or people collectively and persons individually. It puts more attention on our life and calls us to take that great freedom that God created us for more seriously and develop the society with all of our total human life being interest and not just one side of it, like the spiritual side. No, spiritual, mental, and political, the whole life. The whole life begins being the interest that the whole life being seen or focused in society. The need of community life or the need of society. So not looking to what I may want. Maybe I just want a piece of community life, not for the whole community life, but we all together. We need the whole community life. So the focus is on the whole community life. In the Quran, we are told that man was once one community and that God is moving us with the instrument of matter and with the instrument of community life. He is moving us that direction where we will become one community again. And we have become one community again economically. We have a system now where the world is seen as one world. All nations are seen in one focus, that we have become a global community that needs economic connection with each other everywhere. So the Quran is our book because we believe that the Quran addresses man for the future. No matter what God is saying in the present, the light is always shining towards the future or on the future. And we believe that we have come to that future now. And this generation of Muslims now is perhaps even more serious about knowing the Quran and following the guidance of the Quran, because the prophecy in the Quran and the light that shines on our road ahead in the Quran has already prepared us to be the one community. Al-Ummatul Islamiyah is the one community. Al-Ummatul Islamiyah, the one community, the Quran, God says, and I am your Lord. And it says that your community is one community, one united community, and I am your Lord. God is our Lord. If we consider what we presented firstly, that the Quran is a book that says read, if we consider that as a direction from God to say that knowledge, learning, and applying that knowledge and correct educating is the biggest need in your life for you to reach the destiny or accomplish what I would like to see mankind accomplish, or the human being accomplish on this earth. If we take that as a signal and as an order from God directing us, as I have put and explained it, then we have the most important, I think, reason, or we have seen the most important reason for us choosing the Quran as our book. The Quran comes into the world from the mouth of Muhammad the Prophet, who received it through the medium Jibril, the angel Jibril, Gabriel, to us. The Quran came into the world, and the effects of it brought thinkers, serious-minded people, mostly men as they is today, to come together and study the Quran to see how it was to benefit human life in the community, mainly with human life, period. They were blessed to receive the sciences of the Quran that connect with the sciences of the material reality. And as a result, in the short time period, universities sprung up where there was no intellectual interest before. And men came from different parts of the world to those universities and to other centers that were established to study the Quran to see how much help could get for restoring the interest in science and intellectual development. So they did it, and the results was great. Progress was not only the spiritual side of life. But for the material side of life, the Renaissance that we read about, is all about how the Quran and Muhammad's leadership and the scholars amongst Muslims served the need of mankind on this planet Earth and gave a beacon light to the West. And the West accepted and followed that beacon light and was able to restore interest in higher learning and science to the West that had fallen under the dark of human neglect in society. Why the Quran our book? The Quran is our book simply because it has appealed to us as being the answer for all of our needs on this planet Earth as a group and as a people. Thank you for listening. Peace be unto you. As-salamu alaykum, and I turn the floor back over to Imam Murad Muhammad. Imam Murad Muhammad, are you there?
Yes, I am. I thank you for those wonderful words of the Tafsir of Imam Wallerstein, Muhammad. I was so into your translation of the Tafsir of Imam Wallerstein, Muhammad, that I hesitate. Sometimes when you think, you're not thinking about anything else. They say the best thicker thinking is thicker. And when you're dickering, you realize that your conscience is nothing but God. We surely thank you for those wonderful words, so get ready for Wednesday, and if I have to call you out, we'll do just that. We say assalamu alaikum to my brothers and sisters, and we thank you for listening to Brother Imam Elijah Bey. And we are followers of Imam Wallerstein Muhammad. You know, I used to say, Brother Imam, what do you think about this, Brother Imam? Brother Imam, how about this? And he said to me, do you love Brother Elijah and Brother Salon? I said, yes. He said, did you call them Imam or did you call them by their first name? I said, I call them by their first name. Said, of course, you love them. I said, that's correct. He said, well, call me Wallace. I said, okay, Brother Imam. He said, there you go again. You see, when you come into the knowledge of understanding, being obedient to God, you're humble. It's like a martial artist. You ever see a master? He's very humble. You ever see a gorilla? He can't fight. He just got a whole lot of mouth. But he challenged the master. The master begs him that he does not want to engage into nothing physical. But then the man moves on him, and he got both hands behind his back. But the man can't touch him because he moves swift. And all of a sudden, the man gets a little better, and he starts kicking and punching. And he takes one off, and he knocks down everything. But he didn't get the point until he hit him. It's one time, it's all over. And that's what you were taught in martial arts, to how to take a man out in 1 second. If you waste a second, you ain't doing anything. Well, that's how knowledge are. Knowledge allows you to be humble. You don't want to beat up on anybody. You don't want to prove to anybody that you know and they don't know. Matter of fact, when you learn the words of God, you don't want to feel good about yourself because that person you're talking to don't know it. And because she or he doesn't know it, your job is to teach it. Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and may Allah please be pleased with him and grant him paradise. So what is the duty of the civilized man? The civilized man's duty is to teach the uncivilized. Now, don't that make sense? So we have learned, without a shadow of doubt, that we had to give back what God has given to us. Because that's what it's all about, brothers and sisters. You have to give back. If you don't give back, then you're not doing your job. But you have to continue to study. You must study because God's word does not change. Oh, no. It is consistent. It is repetition. It doesn't deviate at all. It's just like his river that runs smoothly, consistently. It doesn't back up. So you got to continue to learn. You're not going to get it all in this world. No, you will not get it all in this world. So you have to go to the next world. So you don't die. You evolve. Why would God kill his great creation? He calls the crown of creation. Why would he kill you? He's not going to kill you, brothers and sisters. And I'd like to take the opportunity to shout out to Sister Bihar that sits on our board. Her mother passed away. And that is a great phrase, pass away. And when you pass away, you ain't gone. You just passing by this time. And you're going away where we all have to go to the final day of judgment. And I understand everybody came out. Now, the mother is 90-something years old, 97 years old, 92, I believe. And yet, she didn't pretty much know too many people because her peers passed away also. But the place was packed with Muslim sisters and brothers. And I know that her siblings had to feel good about that. Why? Because that is our sister's mama. Likewise, if it was her father. Likewise, if it was her children or her siblings. This is why you have to be a part of a community. Because when a community comes together, it's not selfish. If you hurt, I hurt. If you broke, I'm broke. If you don't have the knowledge, I'm supposed to give it to you. And once we wake up and realize that we are a community, then we will support each other and have sympathy for each other. So we make a little dua and we ask Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, to separate her faults, her sins from her goodness, and grant her paradise, like Allah separated the east from the west. Surely Allah speaks the truth. We are a community, brothers and sisters, and the brother is reading to you the Tashi of Ibn Wallace Muhammad and letting you know that Imam in 1975 allowed us to come into the knowledge of El-Islam. So we have brothers and sisters out there today, and I like to talk about that because some of them got their X. And we unintelligently charged those who got their X that they did not accept El-Islam, or they accepted El-Islam under the leadership of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and didn't come over to the Sunnah, so they practiced shirk. They are doing all the wrong things, but let me see if I can clear that up or my hour's up. And I want to speak about these things that gives you more enlightening of who we are as Muslims. Saladin Bilal did a wonderful job in articulating how we came about in the first experience and advanced into what we call the second experience. And there's two parts of life to the human being. There's the mortal human being that comes out of the womb of the female, and that mortal human being is obedient to mama. That's why we love mama, because everything we get comes from mama. More important, we came out of her womb. So mama comes first. But then there's another level. You could call that the second experience, that you grow to another level, and that's the intellectual mind that Eliyahu was just explaining to you. The intellectual mind controls this flesh. It tells this flesh what to do, long as it's in the right state of mind. If it's not in the right state of the mind, the heart ain't accepting. And the body, which is the flesh, will rebel for anything he tells it to do. That's why you become junkies. That's why you become alcoholics. And that's why you have no sense of any kind of sense that your moral decency is just out the window. So the intellectual mind is important. But until you come back to your original state, and I like to talk about that, God willing. So these are the kind of things we like to bring to the forefront to give you to understand that El-Islam has been here since you was born. It just came to fruition in 1,400 years ago. It's the only religion that God himself created. But man had the permission to want religion, and religion has helped a great deal of people. You can't knock it. When you say Judaism or Christianity, those are major religions in this society. But those religions are not mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah does give it to us and say in the Quran there was other religion that was created. And he permitted it because when they was doing the right thing, there was nothing wrong with man doing what he thought was right. It was only until when man decided to keep it to himself. And then here comes another religion, and man decided to make it physical, and that's when it went down. There's the biggest sin that can be created is to take another human being and make that human being look other than you and tell you that's God. It is a sin, a big sin, to take another human being that don't look like you and tell you that that's the Son of God. It is a major sin to take a human being and tell you that's a Virgin Mary You know damn well it don't look like you or your grandma, but you love it. And then you give that to your children. And then you wonder why your children grow up and fall in love with that Caucasian. And not just the African-American, but you got priests molesting little children because you told them that was the next thing to God. Hope we can clean that up because that's something that did not have been. So I say, with God's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, we thank Allah for giving us Muhammad the prophet. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the prophet. We thank him for his mercy. Mercy to all humanity and Muhammad the prophet. We believe in all the prophets, ladies and gentlemen, but the other thing we do not. But it's like baking a cake. When you bake a cake, you have to put ingredients in that cake. And when you put ingredients in that cake, in order for it be called a cake. And you know what the ingredients is. Whether it's sugar, whether it's eggs, whatever you have to put in that cake to make a cake. But once that cake comes out of the oven and it cools off, and you take a piece of that cake, you will never talk about the ingredients. The eggs play a major part. If you don't put sugar in it, it plays a major part. Whatever the ingredients you put in that cake, you never talk about the ingredients. You talk about what? The cake. This sugar sure tastes good. No, the cake tastes good. But you're giving credit to all the ingredients that made the cake. Or likewise with the prophets. May the peace and blessing of Allah be upon all the prophets. We don't look at any prophet and put it over top of another prophet. That's what God taught us in the Holy Quran. But the reason we say Muhammad the prophet, because when you talk about Adam, you are the father of, you are the children of Adam. So you have to go all the way back if you start talking about all the grandfathers to get to Adam. Well, that'll follow your mind. To go way back there in time, you forgot about that. And this is why I want to speak about the two books. The two books called, one is called the Bible, which most of the people in the world love to be a part of. And the other one is called the Holy Quran. But they complement one another. Now, the Quran is more exact and right in what it says to you, but you don't know that. But we can't give credit to the Bible, but so far. But we can't give credit to it. Because it began to with Revelation and end with, I'm sorry, it began with Genesis and end with Revelation. And the Quran began with Revelation. But the revelation of the Quran just took where you left off at and brought it into perspective. And so in the books that is saying when Adam was created, his name was not mentioned. And it was not really mentioned in any book. The Bible says something a little different. But it got the point. It said, God said, let's make man. No, this is what the Bible says. Let's make man in our own likeness. That's in the Bible. Allah says in the Holy Quran, God says, let's make a khalifa in the earth. Man said, let's make man. And God said, I'm going to make a khalifa in the earth. But he didn't ask the question, let who? Who is going to help God to make a khalifa? Just like he needs no one to make the human being, so he never used the word let. He told the angel he was going to make a khalifa in the earth. The two books, one said man and didn't give it a name, and God called it a khalifa and didn't give him his name. Because a khalifa is not an individual. You know, no individual could take claim that he alone is a khalifa. So when you read between the lines of the two, you might get the point. And so the two books has a great similarity, but the Quran just makes it a little clearer for you. So Adam's name wasn't used. Because why? Because Allah said, and so did the Bible, God needed 6 days. 6 days he created, you say, the world. No, the world was here. The world was here. So who did they create? They was creating, which the Bible says, a man. That's pretty good. But God called it the Khalifa. And so Adam had to be molded and shaped. Allah had to breathe into Adam some of his spirit. So in order to do that, to breathe into Adam some of his spirit, what do we have to do? It took 6 days to put all this together. Everything don't just happen. Allah had to do everything he can do and shape this human being. And then that seventh day is called seven steps. And seven steps to get to that Khalifa. And the seven prophets end up being Muhammad the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which means the seventh day. It's the same as Adam in the garden. Adam was the garden of the garden. Yes, so was Jesus. They chased Jesus, tried to kill Jesus, but what did they call him? A gardener. What did they call him? Because Adam was a gardener. He was a gardener. But what did he guard? Well, Adam, being the garden of paradise, which we call the garden, didn't he have to take care of everything there? That was his job. Until when? Until Satan came and whispered in his ear. So Adam was tried, just like Jesus was tried. And so the first step was to guard what garden? Your soul. You got to guard your soul before you can do anything. You hear the word self-preservation, the first law of nature. Well, what is that self? You got to guard your morals. You got to guard your spirit. You got to guard the nature which God created. You have to guard your intellect. That's the guardian on the first step. Then once you come into the knowledge, you have to now guard the garden. Well, we got garden of fruits, garden of vegetables, garden of material, garden. Yes. Yes, you're the guardian of all of that. So Allah named it Khalifas, plural, feminine. Why Khalifas? Because the Khalifa, there's a word, Khalif. In Arabic, it means look back, turn around. Why? Because if we don't turn you around, you'll never know Adam. You don't look back to study Adam. If you study Adam, you'll know what you're doing today. They will not teach you about Adam. Go to the church, and they'll preach about everything that keeps you flying. But they won't tell you about your father. Your father must be brought to your conscious mind. And you must understand, man, I come from Adam. So the Khalifa is the rare, meaning you got to go back to your father in order to know what type you are. You know what they do today in modern-day technology. I got to find out what's wrong with that son. How do I learn about that son? Bring me to daddy. Now, you can't go get Billy. I know you told him that was his daddy. But bring Billy. And the doctor said, oh, my God, he don't have the same blood. I need the father. You need the father. Now you got to go get the father. Guess where the father at? He's down there somewhere doing drugs. You got to go get him. I don't care if you clean him up. If you don't bring him to that hospital, you're not going to save your son. You see, what God is trying to tell you is that if you don't know your daddy, then you don't know who the hell you are today. And everybody's fighting over, well, I'm from Africa, and I don't want to be called American African. I'm an African. Yes, I got an American passport, but I'm from Africa. Well, I don't want to be called an African because I am a Latino, and so forth and so on. And we got hang-ups because Satan knows how to confuse your mind. But if you don't go back to the root, if you don't go back to the root and realize what's killing you, you'll never clean it up. So that intellectual mind that gave up and went in the streets, his body don't respect him no more. Ask that junkie that's laying in the street and hungover. Ask him, do he really want to be there? He'll tell you no, but he ain't man enough to come out of it. So the body is dictating, give me that drug. That thrust is telling you what to do. And the heart has nothing to do with neither one of y'all. So you can't come to the heart, because the heart can't help you. He cannot talk to a mind that's not don't have his own mind. But once that man go into a rehabilitation center, once that man finds himself intellectually, when he comes into the light of understanding, man, I shouldn't be down there. I'm better than this. And he comes back on his own. Whoa, buddy, the body comes right in time. All of a sudden, the body don't crave for drugs no more. It's a mind thing. It ain't got nothing else to do with the gift that God has given you, and that's an intellectual mind that gives you five senses. If you don't have those five senses, you can't come out of anything. I know. You say that's the man shooting the needle. He's hungover. But take that Muslim that don't eat pork and try to give that junkie some pork. He won't take it. He won't take it. But what is that speaking? That is the nature of his breath telling him, I don't want that. Now it speaks up. You can't give him pork. I don't care how much drugs he shoots in his arm. You can't do that. Go take a female and put her on the block and think this is how she got to make her money. You go and talk to her. She don't want to do that. But she can't get it in her intellectual mind that she's bigger and larger than that. So someone's got to save her. And someone got to bring her back to the original self that she was created to be. This is why the Honorable Elijah Muhammad was so successful. Because he didn't have time to teach you how to make prayer. He didn't have time to teach you the Arabic. He didn't have time to teach you the things that we know today. How can he teach you that and you don't even love yourself? So what the Caucasians have done, the diabolical mind, that jinn, as I taught you last week, that jinn injects, he interjects in you that you should not respect your present day. Isn't that amazing? He'll tell you about the one that you should really understand. He tells you how to hate this one. And so this daddy is kicked out the house. Oh, you keep the children away from him. Oh, you don't want the children to talk to him. And when y'all was together with one family, now you're all over the place. And you think you practice the right thing. But he don't give a damn about me and your daddy, your Indian daddy, your African-American daddy, your Latino daddy. He don't give a damn if your daddy is a Caucasian. Do not love Adam. So they don't teach it. Wow, brothers and sisters, you won't even learn it in the mess here. It's because they know, but they don't have the understanding to let you know that you should know your father. Because once you realize that you got to go back in time, and they had it on TV, prime time, The Roots. But how far did you go back? To Kente? Is that your daddy? Oh, buddy, that's my father. What did you learn? Everybody was watching it because I was a little kid sitting there watching it. I only watched it because there's only one TV. You better watch it or go to bed. So you had to watch it. But what did it do for us? Nothing. And what? Why they know it's not going to do anything for us? Because they give it to you. Anytime somebody give you something is free, you better be careful because nobody give you anything free unless you earn it. If you didn't earn it, you should run like hell. So they have programmed us through religion because if you go back and think about John the Baptist, go study John the Baptist. John the Baptist didn't go against Jesus. He just knew you wasn't going to believe that God is one. So they was savages. They was eating raw meat. They was drinking blood from the animal. They were savages. So John the Baptist said, there's no way these savages are going to believe there's one God. He said, so they said, what should we do? Teach them Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. They'll come to that. He said, then when you give them the pill, tell them that is the flesh of Jesus. Because they used to eating the flesh of the meat. He said, but don't they like to drink the blood of the animal. So give wine. Pour wine. And let them think they're drinking blood. Now, that don't make sense today. But go back there during the time when it happened. So that's how they tricked them. But he didn't mean to trick them to hurt them. He just wanted to bring them in closer to obedience and come out of that savagery. What do you think? That God gave it to Adam and wouldn't give it to Noah? You think he gave it to Noah and wouldn't give it to Moses? You think he gave it to Moses and wouldn't give it to Jesus? You think he gave it to Jesus and wouldn't give it to Abraham? Are you out your mind that Lot had it too? God can show you that look what I've done. Adam was the garden of paradise. Jesus was called the gardener. And Muhammad is the Khalifa. Because the cake was baked. All the prophets is the ingredients that makes the cake. So we say, we thank Allah for Prophet Muhammad. Because why? God is so merciful that we don't have to name all the prophets. All we got to do is call it the cake. And we're talking about all the ingredients that was made in the cake. So when we say, may the peace and blessing of Allah be upon the seal of the prophet. The seal of the prophet. He could not be who he is today if Adam didn't come. If Noah didn't come. He could not if Lot didn't come. He could not be who he was unless Jesus came. Unless all the prophets had to come first. And neither one of them is different from one another. So in Islam, if no Muslim can say that Muhammad the prophet was greater than Abraham. Because no Muslim in Islam say Muhammad the prophet was greater than Jesus. And so forth and so on. Because we are taught that you do not look at the prophet different from one another. You can't do it, brothers and sisters. So you got to know your type. You got to know who you are and where you come from. Because if you don't know who you are, we're all mixed up. How in the world, being in slavery for over 400 years, that you know your daddy? Now, did you think God was so unmerciful that you went through that kind of hell, but nobody integrated Adam? Don't fault me, because my father was a prophet. And I can prophesy because I got his genes. Yes, I got his type. And he was born in heaven. So therefore, I was born in heaven. If I'm the type of Abraham, I'm the type of Moses, I'm the type of Lot, I'm the type of Solomon, I'm the type of every prophet you could think of, we all got the same bloodline. Because we all, including Jesus and Abraham and Muhammad, is the bloodstream of Adam. So since we are children of Adam, that Caucasian, that Asian, that Arab, any other person in all walks of life is your brother. Then why the hell, you probably say, if that white man of America was our brother, why did he put us in sleep? Because I tried to teach you that's the gist. Just like the jinn is in him, the jinn is in you. The difference is he educated his jinn, and he learned how to be a devil. And that devil allows him to be able to trick you and con you and deceive you. But he ain't no different than you. He has the same nature you have, but a different mentality. It's all about the mentality. If someone raised you like a girl all your life, and taught you how to bark like a dog all your life. At the age of 30, you will act like a female and you'll bark like a dog. But that individual can't tell you that God made me this way. Because if you strip him, you will show him that God ain't made no mistake. So you say, well, why is he acting different? It's a mentality. Now you got it. It's all in your mind. If that's what you want to believe, someone can help you. You had that choice. You could choose to be in the idol gods. You could do it. It's okay that you're doing it. But you're going to have to pay for that in the final day of judgment. And you can't say that pastor, that priest, or that rabbi, or that imam taught you to do that. It doesn't work. So on this radio show, you will learn the truth that you owe a debt to God. Every individual owe a debt to God. And when you sit there, from the stupidity and listen to a man talk and can't produce anything today, yesterday, a decade ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago. You see how God is great? Let me show you how God is great. How do you can measure a person? I'm going to show you how I'm going to measure. I'm going to give him a storefront. And so I get out of it. Come back 10 years. Come back 20 years. He's still in the storefront. I'm going to give him land. And I'm going to say, here's acres of land. Go ahead and develop it. And I'm going to come back 10 years. I'm going to come back 20 years. I'm going to come back 30 years, and he didn't develop it. give him the opportunity to draw 200 people. It took him 10 years to get 200 5 years ago. But let's go back 3 years ago, 200. Let's go back yesterday, 200. He didn't even grow. Now, your common sense, now that's what you don't deal with. See, common sense was given to you in the womb of your mother. In that womb, you was in the womb of your mother. Did you understand that? You was in the womb of your mother, and you was given your five senses. That five senses allow you to see life greater than anything because God gave it to you. You think it's just no good. How could you not respect what God gave you? Yeah, your social degree, your bachelor degree, your master degree, your PhD, who gave it to you? And the person who gave it to you don't even look like you, but he educated you, and you got some degrees, and you put some degrees above the gift that God gave you in the womb of your mother. Who would tell you that sex wasn't common? For we all within that womb was equal. We come out crying God's language. Put us all behind the wall, and I ask you, which one is Italian? Which one is an Irishman? Which one is from China? They all cry the same language. The same language, brothers and sisters. That language is crying. And that's what they do. Don't you understand that's what they do? They cry the same language. There's no difference from the rest. They all got the same equal common sense. But who changed them? You did. You raised them to be stupidity and ignorance. You raised them to be a racist. You raised them to teach how to go against another human being and not to care. You instilled that in them. But on the final day of judgment, you will be charged with that. Because them babies do not be charged because they don't have the ability to understand a world they knew nothing about. That's why it was said, you have to call the prayer to that individual because God called the prayer while they was in the womb. So they are used to that language. They are used to anything you say that sounds good when it comes to God. It's you that took it away from them, and now they got to suffer and get it back. So they're not only suffering in their nationality, they're not only suffering in their nature, but God shows you a picture. Your son is on drugs. Your son is an alcoholic. Your son is a pimp. Your son is in jail. Your son is, God is showing you something happened. Something has happened. What is it? And you want to convince them, you want to sell them a bunch of books, that ain't happening. The black man don't want to go to a psychiatrist. The black woman, you think you're crazy. Well, you're out your damn mind. You are crazy. You need a psychiatrist. But not that one that sits down there and you pay him to try to analyze what the hell is wrong with you. You need to come back to your nature in which you was created. You went into the hospital, and they found out you got cancer. And they find all these polyps in you. Well, they try to take the polyp out. Now you come to find out that they missed one. But you don't go back to find out that they missed one. So you come back 10 years later, and now there's 25 polyps. You come back 15 years later, now it's all over your kidney. You come back 30 years later, and they can't help you. Why? They missed that polyp. They didn't get to the root. Well, the same way with your ability to fall in this world. You never got to the root to that young man, that young lady. You never told them who they are. They're a crown of creation. They're a khalifa of the world. You didn't teach them that. Until they learn that, this is what you're going to see physically, that this society is messed up. I was watching Steve Harvey. He had a beautiful young lady on the set with a brother who beat up his wife. He got drunk, so he was out of his mind. That's understandable. But he whooped her tail. He beat her bad, and so she pressed charges and he went to jail. He did everything to get his wife back, everything, because he was drunk. He was out of his mind. And so he went on the Steve Harvey show to say that I want to speak out so no one does what we do. And the wife said people don't like her no more because she took her husband back. And Steve asked her, why did you take him back? He said, I love him. And I know that wasn't him. He got drunk because his father died. And he couldn't take it. Now just think of that. Let's stop right there. He got drunk because his father. And you know why he got drunk, brothers and sisters? because no one told him only God's in charge of life and death. You don't respect God's will? No one told him that. Then he wouldn't address it. But because he was lack of understanding, raised in a beautiful family, but no one told him the will of God. If someone had told him that leaving this world is a blessing, you just can't commit suicide. But leaving this world is a blessing. Who want to stay here when God says the next world is greater? There's no pain, no aches, no deceit, no lying, no cheating. It's beautiful, a garden in which you come from in heaven. Now, who don't want that? But God put emphasis on you must not commit suicide. So here's a brother wants to repent. He says on national TV, we all make mistakes. He said, we all make mistakes. And I made a big mistake. And I love my wife. Good-looking couple. She loves him. He'd do it again. So they had a psychiatrist on. That's where I'm getting at. And the psychiatrist says, if he did it once, he'll do it again. I said, who in the world does he think he's talking to? As if you can't repent. That's not what God said. We all make mistakes. We are not perfect. We are born to sin. You have a right to make a choice. That's why you were born. But you can't say God made you sin. No, God gave you permission that you could sin. And if you sin, you go back to God and you beg him for forgiveness. He's the most merciful and all forgiveness. That's what God is saying. So who is her to say he's going to do it again? After that man poured his heart out to the world, that he wants everybody to know, don't put your hands on that female. If I had caught that young man before he drunk that bottle and got high and turned his natural, good, upright self around, I could have corrected him. I could have helped him. But they ain't around people that does good. They always go and do something wrong. Now, it could have been worse. He could have shot her. He could have killed her. Brothers and sisters, this is all reality. So you wonder why the word of God is powerful? The word of God is supposed to lift your spirit and bring you out of that hell that you put yourself in. You create the hell. God don't create the hell. You create the hell. And then if you keep on doing what you're doing, then you create the hell fire. You're looking for some pitchfork or some one individual called Iblis, and that's his name, that he's in everybody around the world. No, sister and brother, that gin is in you, just like it's in me. But I got a different gin than you have. And the other person have a different gin. But your gin, Prophet Muhammad, peace, prayers and peace be upon him, said, and gave us the answer, I have made my jinn Muslim. And you see, so you have no excuse. You can make that jinn Muslim, but you decide not to. So let's put it all in perspective. And hopefully people saw that, because I guarantee you, the woman that's telling her, or women, that tell her, don't take her husband back, because she ain't got no husband. And there's always one with no husband gives advice to those who have a husband. Isn't that amazing? You don't go to one that's been married for 34 years with continuity. You go to a person that never had a husband, and you ask her, what should you do? I would get rid of that nigga. I would do this, I would do that. And then when you do, you're in the bed crying to yourself that you don't have your husband because you got rid of your husband. And most of you all can go to someone that understands. Go find you a 70-year-old, 80-year-old, 90-year-old, and talk to her. And you say, well, what did you give your husband up for? Well, I gave my husband off because of this, because of that, because of this, because of that. Well, what good did he do? Oh, he did this, he did that, he did this, he did that, that, this, this, that, that, that. Oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me you was married to a man that brought you 1,000 of good things in the world, and you got 5 complaints, you a damn fool. See, that's what a senior would tell you. But go to a young girl, I'll get rid of that man. Because see, this is an old saying that misery loves company. I used to wonder what the hell that meant. Because that individual is miserable. So she got to tell you how to be miserable. Now she got some company. So you can't, but this girl on national TV said, I love my husband from the bottom of my heart, and I didn't want to go to nobody. My parents don't like me for it. My girlfriends would have told me no. I had to make my own decision. I love my husband. And they Huck Cutter on TV, both of them crying. I said, isn't this beautiful? This is what life is all about. Who the hell are you not to forgive someone? And then go to God and ask him to forgive you. As if you don't make the word of God is not something spooky. What New Africa enterprise is trying to bring to you is the way of life that is simple. If you just stand up in the nature in which you were created, that you understand that the Khalifa is man and woman. Can't no man claim that. Can't no female claim that. The Khalifa was in the earth to exist. God said he will create a Khalifa in the earth. Now, just use your common sense. If he's going to create a Khalifa and he brought us out of the earth, the Khalifa was already made. It ain't like he didn't make it, but you didn't come into the knowledge of it. The Holy Quran, brothers and sisters, was there when you was created. When he breathed into you some of his spirit, that was the Quran. Oh, you thought it just was created 1,400 years ago? No, Allah brought it to the forefront. And then told Muhammad to read. Told him to read. Read his signs. Signs mean read. You know when you see a sign. You got to read those signs. But you can't just read it and don't follow the instruction. You'll miss the turn. You got to go another 10 miles to turn around and come back because you didn't read it properly. You got to read God's sign, and he don't need man's signs. He don't need no pen and no paper that man created. He don't need nothing of God, man's creation. God is the Lord of all the world. Now, the leaf falls from the tree without his will. So what sign is he telling you? You can look in your husband's face and know there's a sign that he has set. And you disturbing him. You saw the sign, but you ignored it. You ignored it. Now, vice versa. But there's millions of women out there that don't have a man. Now, just think about that. Millions don't have one. And they sometimes come from behind the door. I can't find a man. I saw him on Steve Harvey. I kind of like his show. They come on Steve Harvey. And he said, all this that you got on, you don't have a husband? You got to have a husband. How do you not have a husband? Well, I tried this, I tried that, and now they got to teach her how to go get one at 40, at 50. Well, there's me and more like them, but you got one. But you lost them. Now, where are those other millions of women? They're looking for the man that you got because the woman outnumber the man. What do you think? It got better? Well, let's see. 1,400 years ago, you outnumber us 21. Well, now we're in the 21st century. It's 2016. Let's see where the man's at. Oh, they're on drugs. Okay. Oh, they're in jail. Okay. Oh, they're dead. Okay. Oh, they're Bloods and Crips. Okay. They're homosexuals. Okay. They down low. Okay. If you do it the math, you are 60 times the man. Not 20 to 1. How about 60 to 1? So where's all these beautiful women? And you trying to think that you're going to hold on to that man. Yeah, you can hold on if you're good, because anything good, you never want to let go. You hold on to that. It's like a man got four children, four beautiful girls. And I walked in like Moses. And he says, you see, Ali, daughter, yes, I like her. I love her. I watched her. I was around her. Yeah, but he got three more. I don't want to see the other three. I want what I saw. I ain't taking no chances. Give me this one. Because you bring me the other three, I'm going to be all confused on which one I'm going to pick. So give me that one. But when you know what you got, you don't know what the hell you're going to get. You think it's going to be peace and cream. Everybody got a problem. I don't know what the problem is. You could have a drug problem, but you got your husband. You could have a man's problem, but you got your husband. He could have a get-high problem off a reefer. You know, he ain't no junkie, but he's a coke addict, but you got a problem. He could be a woman abuser. Every time you say something wrong, he knocks you out so you can't fight back. Oh, you got a problem. There's always a problem. So you know what you got. You don't know what you're going to get. But in your mind, you want to play Russian roulette. You know what Russian roulette is? There's six bullets in the chamber. You take five out and spin the wheel, and then you put it to your head. And you bet that this ain't the bullet. You pull the trigger. Nothing happened. Okay, you got lucky. You pull the trigger again. Nothing happened. So you spin it again, and you pull the trigger, and you blew your brains out. And that's what happens when you go out there. You play in Russian roulette thinking you're going to find someone. But you know what the real problem is? I think I would have him on my radio show, God willing. But a Muslim brother ran the prison. He was the warden, Muslim. His name was Keith Ali. Everybody in the state of New Jersey know him. He moved up through the ranks. But he ran his jail, and he didn't go for nobody upsetting his jail. But there's one guy that was a bully. So he went down to the jail cell, told all his officers to leave that part of the cell so he didn't think that they were going to whoop his tail. He went in there, he locked the door, took his jacket off, and said, "You either going to whoop my asset, or I'm going to whoop yours, because you ain't upsetting my jail." And he threw up his hands. He said, this big 6'4", built like Hercules, broke down and cried. He said, "What are you crying for?" He said, "I'm dying from AIDS." And he said, "This good-looking, handsome guy, you dying for AIDS?" He said, "Yeah." "But why are you crying?" He said, "Because I've been inside over 45 women." He said, "My God, man. Why did you do that?" He said, "I wanted to take them with me." Hell, they want to be a hoe, and they need to die with me. So he said, "Listen, brother, you're going to have to give me all those names. We have to call these people." And he talked Jayan to call all those women. No telling, with his handsome self riding around in a Mercedes. How many women did he affect? This is what you want? You want to play, "Oh, that can't happen to you. I know, that can't happen to you. You know, you ain't getting nobody that lives in the ghetto." But no, this guy was standing in the water. You see, you had to come in the water for him to get you and find out that you are the person you want. But what are you doing here unless you got some money? And that's how it is. Now you got another one. He never told you he liked men. He liked men in the prison, but he came out to be a man because too many men around here would tell on him. But in that prison, during 10 years, he just got to have some sex. He didn't want to use his five friends, so he wanted to just have some sex. But when he come out, he ain't doing it to men now because he got you. And you don't know it. And you wonder why AIDS is all in our city. Isn't that amazing? Then you got a husband. He works for the major company. You're making $250,000 a year. I saw this on TV. Jay Leno, whatever her name is, pretty Latino. She's playing a detective. She's in love with her partner. I forgot his name, but he's a great star. And he's doing everything to bring him into her heart. But they want her to wear a wire to bust him because they know he's doing something wrong. He walks in the room, and another guy was in there, and grabbed and kissed him in the mouth, and they had sex. Now she in love with him. You couldn't have told the viewing audience that he was a down low man. He go both ways. She don't know it. I don't know how the picture gonna end up, but she don't know it. How could they come up with these kind of stories? Because it's real. They ain't creating. They see what's going on in society. This is Sodom and Gomorrah. You just don't know you living in it. You think Sodom and Gomorrah was for Lot. No, brothers and sisters, everything that you see, that you read about, is for today. Don't go back into history. Understand what you're reading is today. The floods and the storms is today. The earthquakes is today. The mudsliding is today. The homosexuality is today. The free come out at night. It's the day. You living in it. But you remember what Dean Muhammad said it perfectly. Stay in paradise. Don't get out. Don't worry your mind about what's going on out there. It won't touch you. The fire won't touch you if you stay in paradise. This is paradise. We can talk to one another and bring the reality. What you're going to hear on this show is what you just heard. The Tafsir of Imam al-Din Muhammad. And that brother going to break down all the Arabic words to you. I can't wait to tell you the other four that I have. And you're going to really hear that you ain't been here. And I'm sorry to say, most of what you hear is inferior. They don't have it. They don't have it, brothers and sisters. And they don't have it. And I'm telling you right now that if they had it, we would go farther. We would go far in this world if they had it. They don't have it. I'm going to prove that they don't have it. Because you're going to hear just what you just heard. That is the Tafsir of Imam al-Din Muhammad. Why wouldn't they say it? The man had libraries of what God has given to him. But it's not just words. If you trust in your Lord, he'll allow you to define it. I take the same words and give it to you in the understanding that Allah has blessed me with. Now I understand when the Imam told me, when he was teaching me, he said, your comprehension is amazing. So I assume he meant that I can comprehend anything that I learn. I've been like that all my life as a youngster. However, in studying all the things I could tell you about the prophets, before he passed away about 6 years, he said, okay, you got it. You know the story. Now go back in that Quran and take that third party out of there. It's just you and God. When you hear the stories of Moses, that's you. The stories of Lot, that's you. When you hear the stories of Jesus, that's you. Abraham, that's you. And Muhammad, that's you. I thought I had it all going on. I'm studying. But it didn't deter me that I wasn't starting all over again. I was just going back and putting it in the proper perspective so we understand what a khalifa is. We understand that a khalifa keeps us attached to our father, Adam. Khalifa is not in the front. It's in the rear. So we can understand where we're connected, that we're the bloodstream of the human being all the way back to Adam. That's the khalifa. But if you don't come into that putting them dots together, you're just talking. You're just talking, brothers and sisters. But when you learn this, you advance. Nothing's too big. Because Allah is in charge, and you trust in Allah, and anything you do good has already been written. All you got to do is go get it. That's what we want to do. We want to go get it. You know, I told you about Steve Harvey, and sometimes he's in touch with society. But this man named Donald Trump is showing you all how they really think. The man that came from being a hostage, Birdell, he was kidnapped. They traded him before. Donald Trump said, we need to take him and get him and fly him and drop him on his head. We need to assassinate him. He's a traitor. Now, if Donald Trump said that about Caucasians that were over there to help fight the war, how do you think they feel about you, brother and sister? So I'm not fearful of what he says. I'm happy he said it. And then I got from someone said, look at this. And it was a Russian talking about he came from a new planet called Devil. And that he just wanted to say he's sorry to the African American. All black-skinned people, he and many was taught to put y'all in slavery today, not to let you make any money. This is on the YouTube. Now, I said, could that have been the jinn? Because the jinn could come any kind of way. The jinn could walk in your house as a man or woman, a cat, dog. But he has no power over you. Maybe this is, in the Holy Quran, it says, there's a group of jinns that heard a beautiful recital. And no jinn or man should ignore. What did he hear? The Quran. So you think this is a jinn that's coming on the air and bearing witness? He don't look European. But he's a Caucasian with an accent, and he says, I apologize to you all that we came from a planet. That's what he called it. He said, I can't tell you the planet, but we came from the planet here to trick you. Now, brothers and sisters, you might be spooky. I'm not. But if you read the jinn, you're a jinn. If you stoop down to it, you're a jinn. And that's the jinn that tricks you in you. The glitter, the lights, the tricks. But it's you who stoops to your jinn that's in you. It's a jinn in every one of us. But this one turned devil. Why? Because he knows the knowledge. So you reason about the jinn and you become what? A devil. So that could be real, but you'll see he's just one guy. But he'll go to his grave. I told him the truth. I pin it, Lord. And this is what you have to understand. Y'all see it. You Christians out there, y'all see it. Y'all read it. Y'all call him Lucifer or whatever you call him. There was more than one person in heaven. It was the angel, the jinn, and the human being. And that jinn was on this earth before you were sent down from heaven. Who is he? They won't teach you about him. They won't even talk about it. You hear more in this air, and you're going to continue to hear until hopefully on Tuesday, that's my subject. And I don't usually have a subject, but what's bothering me is that out of stupidity that you are falling victim to Satan's trick. Think Satan ain't real. Oh, it's real. Look in the mirror. Look at yourself. And then come back and look at it again. And you say, oh, my God, I look like that. That's that jinn that took over. That took over and put you to sleep. Don't want you to have the gifts and the praises that God wants you to have. You have to earn it, brothers and sisters. And inshallah, hopefully on this air, we can give it to you. That's my goal, is to be able to bring it to you by radio and then TV. And inshallah, I hope we can line up a group of brothers and a group of sisters, more sisters than brothers, inshallah, because our sisters are going to show you their ability to perform. They know how to perform. They know how to do the things that they are told to do. It's just that nobody gave them that platform. Everybody fears to give that female the platform. They want to tell us that we are monkeys. We are apes. I ain't seen no monkey and no ape come through your womb. Oh, makes sense, son. That's the common sense. And no monkey and no ape came through the womb of that female. If he did, you're a monster. So how can we be part of the apes? We from the monkey family. We from the apes family. You see how they trick us? Don't you let nobody tell you you are a former ape. And the ape is you and the monkey is you. And so forth and so on. We ain't no animal. Yes, we got animal in us, but we ain't no dog, we ain't no pig. That ain't us, that ain't our nature. We don't have no animal nature. We got an animal flesh that we stoop low down to the animal kingdom, but we stand upright. Monkeys don't stand upright, nor do they. How you going to call us that? But you will go for it. You hear it long enough, subliminal seduction, it passes the intellectual mind and reaches your subconscious. You can't say that to an awakened man. How could we lose with the stuff we use? When God gave you the angels to help you, the jinns to help you, he orders them to guide you. But you can't do that if you ain't in your right state of mind. Come back to the nature in which you was created and enjoy your life while you're living and teach your children that there's rules and regulations and they got to be disciplined. You can't just do what the hell you want to do. I got grown sons. I don't know what they do when they're around me. I can't tell you that. I don't check behind. But when they come around me, all eight of them, I got cousins. I got nephews. All of them come around me. But when they come around me, they're very respectful because I don't play. There's rules and there's regulations. You can't just do anything around me. You can't even have a conversation about something that's so negative. All I do is give them the lip. But they remember, I used to fight them all. I used to let them all fight me at one time so I didn't feel bad when I hurt them. Just practicing my art. Until they got so big that I had to watch it. I had to leave with a reputation. I couldn't let them whoop me. They would never let me let it down. So I live on my reputation. I bite my lip, look at them long, and they straighten up right away. But I taught them discipline. No woman can do that. Oh, he'll love you, but he's going to sell drugs. Oh, he'll love you, but he's going to sell dope. Oh, he'll love you, but he's going to go to jail. Oh, he'll love you, but he's going to do everything that he ain't telling his mom about. Association bring about assimilation. You're around drug addicts, you're going to be a drug addict. You're around dope dealers, you're going to be a dope dealer. You're around gangbangers, you're going to be a gangbanger. Association bring about assimilation. You can go educate your children and send them to all the Hofstra schools and learn and come back, and you lost them. Because why? No one taught them that they're the type of actor. No one taught them that God gave you two angels. And we, the Muslims and the Islam, says, As-salamu alaykum, rahman to Allah. As-salamu alaykum, rahman to Allah. Who are you salaming to? You ain't teach them that. So they don't know they walk with an angel. My brothers and sisters, there's men and women that knows that but ignores it. You ever go in the courtroom? When you go in the courtroom, they say, you sister, you brother. When I say brothers, keep this in mind, sister. Man means mine. That's the way man operates. That's why the jinn can't be a human being. He can't be a man. But man means mine. When you have your damn mind, you're not a man. So do you, female, have a mind? It's the masculine of the mind that dominates and creates, provides. Remember, we're the guardian of the garden. The garden in this world. We got to make sure our kids have proper food and clothing. We are Adam. it's true. It's simple. So you go in front of that judge. He said, let me say this to you. 2000, they gave you probation for attempted murder. 2004, you had a hung jury on rape. 2006, you robbed a bank. But you got off. And he continued to read what you did in the past. No common sense tell you, brother and sister, he getting ready to sock it to you. You getting ready to pay for all the things you got away with. What do you think he going to sentence you with? Because he's saying you ain't getting out this courtroom. Well, the same thing happens when you go in front of your Lord. Oh, you was over here. You did this. You did that. You tricked this one. You wasn't faithful to this one. You did this. You did this. You did this. You did this. Are you going to get in heaven? Because your portfolio is being read to you. Going to scripture, your lips will be sealed, so you can't negotiate yourself out of that. That's the angel that you neglected, that you will not stand, that one don't talk to you. You remember what Steve Muhammad said, that's the one that takes you to hell. Meaning, if you're doing wrong things, but that one on the right, it whispers to you. Somebody told me not to do it. That's the angel on your right shoulder. I know you're trying to say, how can an angel be on my shoulder? You ain't God. How you breathe his air? How you wake up? How you blink your eye? How do you smell? How do you feel? How do you walk? You ever think about waking up in the morning, is your left leg gonna move or your right leg gonna move? How did you have that heart attack and came back? Well, how could you dismiss God? Or is that some myth that an angel ain't on your shoulder? Well, brothers and sisters, the world is moving around. You don't even know. but it's balanced. You have to be balanced. Stick both your arms out. You balance. That's how you balance yourself. But it's also a cross. Now, do you keep your cross out there also as you in love with a cross? Put it around your neck and put it in your car. You're so involved in idols. That's an idol God. But your body is a cross. You don't need no physical cross. Stick your arms out. You want to be a cross. That's balance. But what it means, that is vertical and horizontal. Horizontal is everything we are talking about, life in general. That's horizontal. Don't get stuck there. Stuck loving your husband and not loving God. Don't get stuck there. You're so interested in your religion that you go through the rituals. You're in love with rituals, as God wants you to be in love with rituals. No, they just exercise to prepare you for the battle. But you're in love with rituals. You're in love with the church. You're in love with the masjid. There was a story that a man was in the masjid praying. When he came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and companions, and they said, "O Rasuli, O Messenger of God, there's a man in the masjid praying all night, all day." He said, "Well, who's feeding him?" He said, "We are." He said, "You better than he is." Oh, did you make sense out of that? A man that does nothing but pray, won't get up and go to work, don't mean nothing. God don't need your rituals. If you don't exercise, you're going to get out of shape. Your whole body going to get out of shape if you don't exercise. So your rituals is exercise to keep the intellectual mind sharp. It keeps it sharp. If you don't read, you can't become sharp. All of these are a metaphor. Don't eat all you want. Eat anytime you want. Drink everything. And watch that body get sick. Who you blaming? Yourself. You're overweight. So you're reading all these books. Your brain is overweight. You're like a donkey. With all those books, you're like a donkey. You know what a donkey is? You become stubborn. Won't even move. You ain't going no damn where. All that knowledge. And what do it represent? Nothing. So the same way with you, PhD, master degree, science degree, doctor degree. The same way with you. When you get so big-headed and so much weight, you crash. You commit suicide. You become a big freak. You become a junkie. I've seen PhDs on Skid Row. Ain't got nothing to do with your degree. If you ain't balanced, you have to be balanced. That's what I say. That's why I try to give it to you. Where you get all this from? Well, I study. I read Revelation. All of it. I don't like to stay in the Torah and the Geo, what we call the Bible, too long. But I go in it because I want to know my Christians. And I want to see the seminary, which I just spoke to you about. Adam was even called by his name. But they said in the Bible, "Let's make man in our likeness." God didn't say that. God said, "Let's make a, I'm going to make a khalifa in the earth." So man called it man, and Allah called it a khalifa. Adam wasn't even mentioned. Then God told the angels, "Bow down to Adam, my new creation." And Adam was given his name. But sister, don't forget this. You are Adam. There was only one mold. There wasn't no two molds. There was one mold. If a baby came out, it was two of them, you call them twins. And sometimes they're boy and girl, sometimes they're two girls or two boys, but with one egg. He breathed into Adam, mud, dirt. Rain came down and made the mud soft so God could mold it. Go and study that. And shake it and breathe and do it. I don't. And you women. been all that messed up and let someone tell you you came from his rib. Well, let's use your common sense, sisters. If you came from his rib, then God messed up. Because why did he put you in there without having to take the rib out later, after you've been created? That's a myth. You came from someone's rib. See, that's the difference from all the other religions. And I'm telling you, whether you accept it or not, that this religion was created by God himself. It is clear. You can't fool this Muslim woman that studied. Come from a rib. Tell that Islamic sister that. When we are one. One soul, God says. One soul. Not two souls, sister. One soul. One nature. And how the hell you split up today and won't become one community? Why, something is wrong with you. And you, who has it, gets punished worse than those who don't know it. Allah will forgive them. But you know it, and you follow stupidity and ignorance and don't want nothing in life. Hey, man, you got to get out of there. Obama was the first, and I think he's one of the best because of his character. But he got to get out of there, and time is up. Because that's the way life is. Go study the bee that makes honey. You know your the bee that has the babies. And not that bee, she gives her babies, then once she impregnated her, she killed her. But when she can't produce no more, they kill her. Oh, you didn't know that. Go study the bee. See how the bees operate. All that's a metaphor that God gives to you and I. Go study his animals and his insects. Well, I didn't think I was going to teach like this. I usually do that on. But I want to say that I thank you for listening. I thank Elijah Bay, Imam Elijah Bay, for doing his studying. And he ain't just studying. Can't wait to hear him again on Wednesday, him and Saladin. No, Saladin comes in on Monday. Saladin comes on Monday, and Elijah comes on Monday. Now he comes on Wednesday. We'll get it together. But we'll have it together. I want to thank you for listening to me. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all with the light of understanding. If I said anything wrong, I apologize, because I am human. If I stepped on your toe or insulted you, I ask Allah to forgive me, and hopefully you will forgive me. But if I say anything to motivate you, give that to Allah, not me. I greet you with the Arabic language of As-salamu alaykum from all the prophets to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And may God be with you. Thank you for listening.